Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Nun Gimel. The rabbi left off Nun Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Again, for those listening on YU Torah, Rabbi Leibowitz is away in Cleveland for the weekend. I heard it's very beautiful this time of year. This is Alicia Graf covering for the rabbi. The rabbi will be back to say the shir, God willing, on Monday morning. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by the Newman family, Lizkos Refuah Shleima for Sarah Freda Bas Chai, as well as Le'ili Nishmas Chaim, Naftali Ben Yaakov Shlomo, and Dvorah Shira Chaya Bas Yaakov Leib. We thank the Newman family very much for the sponsorship, and we hope that the Zchus of the Learning serves as a refuah for those who need a refuah, and an Ilui Neshama for those who need an Aliyas Neshama. So again, we left off the Mishnah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Today's Gemara is going to focus almost exclusively on the concept of Bittul Avodah Zarah, which we've been alluding to a few times over the past couple of days. We've seen sort of allusions to who was allowed to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah and under what circumstances, but now we really get into the meat of that sugya. We talk about whether a Jew is able to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, the circumstances under which a Goy is able to be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah, and then what constitutes Bittul, what act is necessary in order to demonstrate that one is actually being Mevatel and Avodah Zarah. So says the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. Oved Kochavim Mevatel Avodas Kochavim Shelo Vishel Chavero. And Oved Kochavim is able to be Mevatel his Avodah Zarah as well as an Avodah Zarah of his friend. And the diak that the Rishonim make over here is that even if that Akum is not Oved the particular Avodah Zarah that he wants to be Mevatel, he's still able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. However, we already saw a hint to some of the criteria a couple of weeks ago in the Gemara, where we said that a child can't be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah, a Shota can't be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah. So in order to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, you have to be a Gadol, you have to be a Bardas, and you have to be a Goy. However, you don't have to be Oved. There's no criteria that you need to be Oved Avodah Zarah that you want to be Mevatel. However, says the Mishnah, V'Yisrael, Ein Mevatel Avodah Kochavim Shalom Kochavim. However, a Jew cannot be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah of an Akum. And Rashi points out that there's a Kal V'Chomer that you should be Medayik over here. V'Kolshkein, V'Yisrael, Ein Mevatel Avodah Kochavim, V'Yisrael. And certainly, if the Jew is not even able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Goy, certainly the Jew is not able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of the Jew, De'ein Lo B'Tei Lo Alamas, because the Avodah Zarah a Jew never is batel. Daha v'sham basasar k'siv, because it says v'sham basasar. We saw that yesterday that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew remains usur forever. The Ravim Bar Tadura on the Mishnah explains that the chiddush of this piece of the Mishnah is that the halacha that a Jew is not able to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a Goy holds true even if the Goy gives the Jew permission to be mevatel as Avodah Zarah. Even under those circumstances, the Jew is never able to be mevatel either the Avodah Zarah of another Jew or of himself or the Avodah Zarah of a Goy. So now the Mishnah goes to a different halacha. Mevatel avodat kochavim, if a person is mevatel on avodah zarah, mevatel meshamshah, then he's mevatel the meshamshah avodah zarah, the accessories to the avodah zarah. The Ran explains that this is because the meshamshim are tufel to the avodah zarah. And after you're mevatel the ikar, if you're mevatel the ikar avodah zarah, then certainly you're mevatel the meshamshay avodah zarah. Or another explanation that the Ran brings down is because after you're mevatel the avodah zarah, the accessory of something has utility only if it's serving something. But if the thing that the accessory serves has been batel, then obviously the accessory is batel because the accessory is useless. So that's two reasons why if you're Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, automatically the accessories are batel. Bitel Meshamshah, however, if you're Mevatel the Meshamshah Avodah Zarah, then Meshamshin Mutarim Vihi Asura. Then the Meshamshin are Mutar, but the Avodah Zarah itself remains Asur because the Bitel of the accessories, which are the Tufel, does not effectuate a bittul of the Avodah Zarah, which is the Ikar. In other words, if you're Mevatel the main event, you're Mevatel also the sideshow, but if you're Mevatel the sideshow, you are not necessarily Mevatel the main event. So says the Gemara now. Now we're going to focus on the first part of the Mishnah. So Masdi la Rebbe, la Reb Shimon Barebbe. So Rebbe was teaching Rabbi Shimon Rebbe the Mishnah. Oved kochavim mevatel avodas kochavim shelo v'shel chavero. That an Akum is able to be mevatel an avodah zara of his friend, his own avodah zara, and the avodah zara of his friend. And Rashi says that the diuk over here is that the Mishnah teaches us that an Oved Kochavim is able to be mevatel the avodah zara of himself and his friend, but he's not able to be mevatel the avodah zara of a Jew. That's what's that's the diuk that you're supposed to make over here. And so that's why Reb Shimon Barebi said, so Reb Shimon Barebi said to Rebbe, so Rebbe, Shanisalana Bialdu Secha, when you were younger, you told us as follows, Obe Kachavim Avatal Avodas Kachavim Shalo Vishel Yisrael, that when you were younger, you told us that it Goy Kamim Avatal his own Avodah Zarah and the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Now you're telling me that a Goy Kamim Avatal his own Avodah Zarah and the Avodah Zarah of his friend who's a Goy, but the clear mashmos is that he's not able to be mevatel the avodah zara of a Jew. So what gives over here? What changed? So says the Gemara, the Yisrael mikam mevatla. However, can he actually be mevatel the avodah zara of a Jew? V'ha v'sham basasar k'siv. It says legabe the avodah zara of a Jew that you have to leave it there forever. Ein la b'te la olamis. How can you ever say? How were you able to teach us in your youth that the goy can be mevatel his own avodah zara and the avodah zara of a Jew? So Amar Rav Hillel Bered Rabbi Valis lo nitzrucha sheyesh ba shutfis. That we're talking about a case where a goy and a Jew have a shutfis in an avodah zara. And how does this help explain the stira? So bialduso maiksaver v'zgnuso maiksaver. Says the Gemara. Okay, great. So there's a shutfis. So what changed? What's the svara for what he said bialduso, that the goy is able to be mevatel his own avodah zara and the avodah zara of a Jew? And what's the svara for what he said b'ziknusa, which is that the guy is able to be mevatel his own avodah zara and the avodah zara of his friend, but he's not able to be mevatel the avodah zara of a Jew? Says the Gemara, bialduso savar Yisrael adai ter David kachavim palach. At first, Rebbe thought that the Jew is worshiping the avodah zara because the goy is instructing him to. And kivan dove kachavim mevatel denafshei, the Yisrael nami mevatla. And since the goy is able to be mevatel his own chelak in the avodah zara, the goy is able to be mevatel the Jew's chelak in the avodah zara because the Jew is only bowing to the avodah zara. The Jew is only serving the avodah zara in order to placate the goy, and therefore, effectively, the goy is in control. Uvizeknuso Savar, however, when Rebbe got older, he reversed his decision because Savar Yisrael adaitit nafshei palach. He said that no, the Jew is serving the Avodah Zarah on his own accord. And kimavatel obed kachavim denafshei, the Yisrael lobatel. And therefore, when the guy wants to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah, yes, he has the power, he has the koach to be mevatel his own chelak in the Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't have the power to be mevatel the Jew's chelak in the Avodah Zarah because the Jew is serving the Avodah Zarah independently. So that's the first explanation of what Rebbe was thinking when he changed his mind. And Ika Damasni La Seifa, and others learn the case of Shutfis going on the Seifa of the Mishnah. Yisrael Einu Mevatel Avodas Kochavim Shelo V'Kochavim. What we had said in the Mishnah was that the Jew is not able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a guy. And says the Gemara, Pshita, it's Pasha that he can't be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a guy. A Jew is not even able to be Mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, because it says V'Sham Basasar, that once a Jew is Oved in Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah is Asar forever. So if he's not able to be Mevatel his own Avodah Zarah, Kol Shekein he's not able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of a guy. Some of Rav Hillel, Berei de Rav Vilas, that Rav Hillel, Berei de Rav Vilas says, La Nitzrucha She'esh Ba Shutfis. We're obviously talking about a case where there is a Shutfis. And how does that help solve the issue? The Kamash Malan, Yisraelu de la Mevatel, that the Jew is not able to be Mevatel the part of the guy. Yisraelu de la Mevatel dove kachavim. Aval ove kachavim denafshei mevatel. However, the ove kachavim is able to be mevatel his own part of the avodah zara. So what does that mean? So Rashi over here on the top of the page says that what we're talking about is a case where there is a shutfis of the Yisrael, the Yisrael shutfis ba, v'ha gufa lo etzrucha lashmina dod nami pshita sheni yachal avatel chelko shalav kachavim. And again, the fact that we say in the Mishnah that the God, that the Jew is not able to be mevatel the chelek of the goy in the Avodah Zarah, that itself is pashut. Why? She'ein ein yachal avatel shafilu shalo ein yachal avatel, because he's not even able to be mevatel his own chelak, ela lemedak mine Yisrael udlo mevatel chelak ove kochavim. The diuk is that the Jew can't be mevatel ove kochavim's chelak. However, the goy can be mevatel his own chelak in the avodah zarah. Velo amrinan ki echi dechelko shal Yisrael lo batel chelak shalo v'kachavim nami lo batel. And the chiddush is that we don't say that just because the goy can't be mevatel the Jew's chelak, so too he can't be mevatel his own chelak. No, he can be mevatel his own chelak in the avodah zarah. So the Rishonim over here just have a fun time trying to understand that what is the utility of the goy being mevatel his chelak in the avodah zarah if the avodah zarah as a whole remains aser because the Jew has a chelak in it and the goy can't be mevatel the Jew's chelak. So great. So now we have an avodah zarah that's half aser and it's half mutter. So what do you do with it now? And if you can't do anything with it now, why in the world would the goy be mevatel his chelak in the avodah zarah? So there's a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say that we're talking where the shutfas in the avodah zarah is not like we would consider a true partnership where it's a 50-50 partnership. It's that the Jew owns a defined portion of the avodah zarah and the goy owns a defined portion of the avodah zarah. And therefore you could point to the part of the avodah zarah and say, oh, this is the part that the goy owns, and therefore you're allowed to maybe cut off that part and sell that part. Others say, no, you can't cut off that part and sell that part, and if it's not identifiable, maybe we hold Ein Breira, because we wind up saying, or the Rashitas that hold, that we say Yesh Breira by a Isser Darabanan, and Ein Breira by an Isser Daraisa. Certainly Avodah Zarah is a very chamardik Isser Daraisa. So some Rishonim explain that what we're talking about is what happens if you sell the Avodah Zarah. Is part of the sale proceeds mutter because the guy was because the guy was already mevatel as chelek? Or some say that the guy's hope is that if he's mevatel as chelek, then he'll be able to convince the Jew to sell his chelek in the Avodah Zarah to the guy so that the whole thing can then become batel. But you have to have some lumdus as to what the utility is of the guy being mevatel his own chelek of the Avodah Zarah if he can't do anything about the Jew's chelek anyway. But back in the Gemara, that was the second interpretation of where we apply the concept of shutfas in Avodah Zarah. It was either on the first part of the Mishnah or in the second part of the Mishnah. And now, Ika Damasni La Braisa, four lines down on Nun Gimel Lamed Aleph, some say that this concept was taught in reference to the Braisa. Reb Shimon ben Menasseh Omer Avodas Kokavim Shal Yisrael Ein La Betela Olamis, that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew doesn't have Betela Olamis. You can never meet Mavatlet. My Olamis, what does it mean, Olamis? So Amar Rav Hillel Bered Rav Valas, Rav Hillel Bered Rav Valas says, Lo Nitzrucha Ela Sheyesh La Lovi Kokavim Ba Shutfis, that we're talking about a case where the goy has a shutfis in the Avodah Zarah, that not only where the Avodah Zarah is solely owned by the Jew does it not have betela, does it not have bittel, but also where it's owned b'shutfis it doesn't have bittel. The kamash malan the Yisrael adaita dinaf shei palach, and the chiddush is that when the Jew bows down to the Avodah Zarah, he's bowing down to the Avodah Zarah on his own accord, and therefore this type of Avodah Zarah that's owned b'shutfis never has bittel because it's considered to be bona legitimately owned partly by a Jew. Okay, now the next Mishnah. This next Mishnah is going to get into the nuts and bolts of how you effectuate a bittel avodah zarah. So ketzad mevatla. So how are you mevatel an avodah zarah? Says the Mishnah, kata rosh azna. If you cut off the tip of the nose of the avodah zarah, the tip of the ear rather, rosh chotma, the tip of the nose, rosh etzba, the tip of the finger, pachsa, if you dented it on its face, afal pi shelo chisra, even though you haven't actually cut any part off, bitla, that all constitutes a bittel. The Shoshanim Ladavid explains that this Mishnah is written in the style of lo zu av zu. In other words, not only if you cut off the ear, and cutting off the ear is a symbol of avdus, right? That's why we have by the nirza, by somebody, by an eved who wants to stay on, we make a piercing in his ear, because that's a symbol of avdus. And obviously, if you're doing an act of avdus on your deity, that's a very big affront to the deity. So it's a symbol, it's a sign that you want to be mevatel the deity. So not only if you cut off the ear, which is a sign of avdus, but even if you cut off the nose, which is not a sign of avdus, but it's pretty apparent because you're damaging the face of the avodah zarah. Not only if you cut off the nose, but even if you cut off the finger. So cutting off the finger is not so apparent because you're not always looking at the finger of the avodah zarah when you're looking dead on to the avodah zarah. And not only when you're cutting off the finger, but even when you're just denting the avodah zarah on its face, that's enough of a chutzpah, that's enough of an affront, of an embarrassment to the avodah zarah that it constitutes a bittul. So those are all things that work. Now the Mishnah says, however, rak b'faneh, if you spat in front of the avodah zarah, hishtin b'faneh, if you urinated in front of the avodah zarah, garara, if you dragged the avodah zarah through the mud, zarak b'asatsoa, if you just threw excrement at the avodah zarah, harezu eina b'tela, these are not ways of being mevatel in avodah zarah. Machra o mishkana, if you sold the avodah zarah, or if you posted the avodah zarah as collateral for a loan, Rebbe Omer Bitel, Rebbe says that you're mevatel the avodah zarah. We'll see why. The Chachamim Omrim lo Bitel, and the Chachamim say no, that is not enough of an offense to the avodah zarah. That's not a degrading enough act, and therefore it does not constitute a bitel. Says the Gemara. So you gave me a couple of ways of being mevatel the avodah zarah, most of which involve chopping off a part of the avodah zarah. But there was also the way of denting the avodah zarah, even though you're not chopping off any part of it. Says the Gemara, ki lo chasra b'mai bitla. If you are not causing a loss in the avodah zarah, if you're not actually chopping off part of the avodah zarah, how in the world are you mevatel the avodah zarah? That you were talking about where you dented it on its face, and Rashi points out, v'kilkel tzurasa, and therefore you alter its appearance, you damage its appearance. So that's also a huge offense to the avodah zarah if you're going to damage the appearance of the face of the avodah zarah. So, rakak b'faneh, v'ishtin b'faneh, minani mili. How do I know that if I spit in front of the avodah zarah, or if somebody urinates in front of the avodah zarah, that does not constitute a bittul? Samar chiski, because the pasuk says, and it'll be when you're hungry, and you'll get angry, and you'll curse your avodah zarah, and you'll turn above to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you'll ultimately wind up turning back to the avodah zarah, and therefore there's going to be tzara, there's going to be darkness again. So in other words, the afal gav dekilo malko velohav upana lamala el eretz yabit, that even though initially he was makalal as melech, he was makalal as God, so he was makalal the avodah zarah, and he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately he's going to turn down back to his avodah zarah. So if you do something rash, like spitting in front of it, or an act like urinating in front of it, yeah, it's offensive, but it's not irreversible, and therefore it's not considered to be that type of offensive act that constitutes an actual bittul. So now the Gemara says weiter, halfway down Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. So machra o mishkana, if you sell the avodah zarah, or if you post the avodah zarah as collateral. So Rebbe Omer Bitel, so we saw machlokas in the Mishnah, Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe says that constitutes an act of bittul, and the Chachamim disagree. So Ziri Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav, Chad Amar, one says, machlokas bitsoreif oved kochavim. The machlokas of where, when you sell it, does it constitute a bittul, that's only when you sell it to a smelter who is a goy. Avol b'tzoref Yisrael divrei akol bitel. However, by a smelter who's a Jew, then everybody would agree that it's going to be batel, because when you sell it to a Jewish smelter, a smelter is somebody who would melt down ironwork and then would sell the metal. So when you sell it to a smelter who's a Jew, you assume that the Jew is going to melt down the avodah zarah for sure, and he's going to then sell the metal. He's not actually going to be obey the avodah zarah. However, when you sell it to a smelter of an avodah zarah, that's where you have the machlokes. Is selling it an act of an act of bittul or not. V'chad amar b'tzoraf Yisrael machlokes, and others say, no, the machlokes of whether it's an act of bittul is when you sell it to a Jew who's a smelter who's a Jew. But however, when you sell it to a smelter who's a guy, we're going to see whether there's a machlokes or if everybody agrees that it actually doesn't constitute a bittul. In the meantime, there's a machlokes rishonim as to whether when we give the hypothetical of when you sell it to a tzoref, when you sell it to a smelter, are we talking about selling it to a smelter dafka? Or are we talking if you sell it to anybody and we just happen to use the example as a smelter because who else wants to buy your old avodah zarah but for a smelter who's going to buy it for the value of the metal? So Rashi says that we're talking about, Rashi says that it's lav dafka a smelter, but the Gemara is simply talking about what is apt to happen. And what's likely to happen is that if anybody's going to be in the market for an avodah zarah, it's going to be a smelter because he wants to buy the metal avodah zarah in order to melt down and then sell the metal as scrap. However, the Ramban and the Ravid say that no, that we're talking dafka where you sell it to a smelter. Why do they explain that we're talking dafka where you sell it to a smelter? Because they say the reason that selling it to a smelter constitutes a bittul is because you know that if the smelter is buying the avodah zarah, then he's buying it, there's a chazaka, he's buying it to melt it down. And that's why you know you're selling the avodah zarah to be destroyed by the smelter. That's why it's a bittul. However, say the Ramban and the Ravid, it could be that if you sell it to a regular guy, if you sell it to a person who's not a smelter, maybe that's not a bittul because maybe it's not so apparent that the guy is going to melt down the avodah zarah. But back in the Gemara, we had a machlokes. Whether the machlokes tanoim in the Mishnah is only when you sell it to a guy, but if you sell it to a Jew, everybody agrees it's batel, or if the machlokes in the Mishnah is even where you sell it to a smelter who's a Jew. So we buy lu b'tzoref Yisrael machlokes avol tzoref ovek kachavim devri akol lo bitel. So according to the Man D'Amar, who says the machlokes is that when you sell it to a smelter who's a Jew, is it batel or not? Does that Man D'Amar hold that if you sell it to a smelter who's a guy, then definitely it is not batel? Odilma beimzeh beimzeh machlokes. Or maybe the machlokes exists, the machlokes applies whether you sell it to a smelter who's a guy or a smelter who's a Jew. So says the Gemara, Tashma. We have a Raya. D'Amar Rebbe divrei nirin divarai kishamachra lechabala, that I who say that it's batel appear to be correct when you sell it to destruction. V'divrei chaveirai, and my friends, the chachamim, appear to be correct shamachra leovda, when you sell it for worship. So my lechabala, my leovda. So the Bryce interjects and says, what does it mean lechavala and what does it mean laovda? Ilei melechavala lechavala mamish. Laovda mamish. If you mean to say that when you sell it to destruction, it means mamish to destruction. And when you sell it for worship, it means mamish for worship. So my time at demandiyam are bitul, my time at demandiyam are lo bitul. How in the world is there a machlokas? If you sell it for avoda, how is it possible that somebody holds that does not constitute a bittul? If you sell it for chavala to be destroyed, how's it possible that somebody says that does not constitute a bittul? So I don't understand. So elalav lechavala lemisha asa lechavla. It's not that you know it's going to be destroyed. When we say chavala, we mean that you sell it to somebody who ultimately is going to destroy it. Umanu, and who is ultimately going to destroy it? Soref Yisrael, a Jewish smelter. And laovda lemisha asa laovda. When we say that you're selling it laovda, we mean to one who is ultimately going to worship the avodah zarah. Umanu tzoref ove kachavim, and who was added tzoref ove kachavim? Ushma mina beimizeh beimizeh machlokas. However, what we see is that the machlokas applies in either case, because Rebbe said nirim dvarai when you sell it to a Jew, and nirim divrei chaveirai when you sell it to a guy. So it's mashma that they argue in both the case where you sell it to a Jew and both the case where you sell it to a guy. Says the Gemara, Badiuk, lo hachi kamar. Amar Rebbe, nirin dvarai lechaveirai, that my opinion is the prevailing opinion. It's more mistaber than the opinion of my friends, kishamachra lechavala, when you sell it lechavala, when you sell it into destruction. Umanu, and what does that mean? It means Soref Yisrael, that you sold it to a tzorefa, to a smelter who's a Jew, she'af chaveirai lo nechleku alai ela keshamachra la'avoda. Why is it nirim dvarai? Not because there's a machlokes, because even my friends who argue with me in the case where you sell it to a guy, they agree with me in the case where you sell it to a Jew that it's certainly batal. However, when you're selling it to a Jew, when you're selling it to the Chavala, they're moda to me that it is certainly batal. And so there is no proof that the machlokes is bein bezu, bein bezu. Meisve, the Gemara now asks, or the Gemara tries to bring a proof here. Halokeach grutos mina ovdei kochavim. If you buy scraps of silver from a guy, umatza ben avodas kochavim, and you find an idol in them, you find an avodah zarah in the middle of the scraps of silver. So im ad shalon nasan mos moshach, if, and you were moshech the metal, you're moshech the scraps of metal that you're buying. So if you're moshech the scraps of metal before you pay for them, then yachzir, then you could just return the avodah zarah, and you could take more metal in lieu of the avodah zarah. And Rashi explains here, La avodas kochavim, Rashi about halfway down in the wide lines, im ad shelo nasa mos mashach yachzir, la oved kochavim vivat lena, and then the akum kemi mavatol the avodah zarah, v'achar kach im yirtze yikichana mimeno, and after that, if you want, you could then buy the avodah zarah back from the akum, because the akum at that point has already been mavatol it. V'afagav de mashach, so now Rashi is going to explain why when you did the meshicha, that didn't constitute a kinyan and bring it into your rishus. V'afagav de mashach, lo amrina avodas kochavim shal yisrael hi, and even though you did the meshicha, we don't say that it's an avodah zarah that belongs to a Jew, ve'ena b'teilan, it's never bottle, the meshicha betos havoi. Why? Because it was a mistaken meshicha betos. Because you never knew that there was an avodah zara included in the scrap metal, and you never intended to acquire that avodah zara. So the concept of giving it back works only where you, the concept of giving it back only works where you had not yet paid for the avodah zarah. The Poros Yosef says just parenthetically that yachzir means that you don't have to return the money. That means that the whole thing isn't chozer. It's just that you have to return the avodah zarah because it says yachzir and not yachzor. Yachzor would have the connotation that the whole transaction is void. Yachzir just means that you have to return the avodah zarah. And then if you want, as Rashi said, you could buy it back. However, says the Gemara, two lines down in the wide lines, im mishenosa mos mashach, if, however, you did the meshicha after you already paid for the stuff, then yolech ilam ha-melach, then you have to throw the avodah zarah into the yam ha-melach, because it's considered to be the avodah zarah of a Jew, and ein betela olamis. So says the Gemara as follows, se'i amret bishlam ebitzorif yisrael machlokes, if the machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim in our Mishnah applies to a smelter who's a Jew, so I understand why you have to throw the avodah zarah into the yam ha-melach, because our brisa holds like the chachamim who say that when you sell it to a Jewish smelter, it's not batal. It's still an avodah zarah, therefore you have to get rid of it. So, bishlama, b'tzorif yisrael machlokes, hamani rabbanani. Ela I amr b'tzorif ovek chachamim machlokes, aval b'tzorif yisrael divriya kol bitel. But if you want to say that the machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is only when you sell it to a Goyish smelter, but when you sell it to a Jewish smelter, everybody agrees the Avodah Zarah is bottle. Hamani, who is the author of our Brisa? Because our Brisa says that even after the Jew buys the scrap metal, he has to throw it into the Yam HaMelech, meaning that it's not bottle. But if the machlokas is only by a Goy, but not by a Jew, why does he have to throw it into the Yam HaMelech? Why is it not bottle? Says the Gemara, obvious distinction. Shani also. Why is selling it to a Jewish smelter a batala? Why is it a bittel? Because you're consciously selling the idol to a guy who you know is going to destroy it. That constitutes an act of bittel. Here, the guy was selling scrap metal. He didn't realize that the avodah zarah was in the middle of the metal. He never consciously intended that he was going to be mevatel the avodah zarah. That's why it's not bittel. Even if you say that usually everybody agrees that when you sell it to a Goyish smelter, it's going to be bottle. Here it was not intended, and therefore it's not bottle. Tanu Rabbanan. Lava alea, if you borrowed against the Avodah Zarah, Oshanafla alea mapoles, or if a building collapsed on the Avodah Zarah and you are not frantically rooting around the rubble to find your Avodah Zarah, oh shaganvu alistim, or if bandits stole it, and Rashi explains that you're not being mechazer achareya, that you're not frantically searching for it, oh shenichu abaylam ochlam dinas hayam, or if the baylam just left the Avodah Zarah there and goes abroad, so imasidim lachzar kemelchemes Yoshua, if they are going to return like the Melchemes Yoshua, which is a very cryptic comment we'll delve into in a couple of lines of Gemara, but if he intends to return, Eina Batela, then it's not going to be Batel. So first of all, before we get to what the Gemara says, the Rishonim raise a question that we had said that Lava Alea, the first example here was that you borrowed against the item. And what we just said now is if you intend to return it, then there is no bittul. But I thought our Mishnah had said that this was the subject to a machlokes tanon, machra o mishkana. If you sell it or if you give it as collateral, there was a machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim. So what's the deal here? So the Rishonim make a distinction between where you simply borrow against the credit of the Avodah Zarah and a case where you actually tell the guy, where you tell the lender, this Avodah Zarah is serving as a mashkon, and if I don't repay the principal, then you could just seize my idol in repayment of the loan. If you specifically give him the right to seize your idol and repayment of the loan, that's the type of offensive act that constitutes a bittul. However, generally, it doesn't constitute a bittul. But back in the Gemara, Bitzricha, second line down, Nun Gimel Amabez. The Tana Lava Alea, if we're going to say only the case where you borrow against the Avodah Zarah, Samid Lo Zavna La Batla. From the fact that you didn't sell, you didn't alienate the Avodah Zarah, you didn't sell the Avodah Zarah, you're just using it as collateral, you're using it as credit to borrow against, therefore it's not bittul, therefore it's not bittul. Aval Nafla Alea Mapoles, however, if a building collapses on it, Midulo Kam Mafnila, from the fact that you're not rooting through the rubble to try to find the Avodah Zarah, Ema Batule Batla, I would think that maybe you're Mavatal et Sricha, Vitan enough Lala Mapoles, Misham the Savra Hamanachas. Why are you going to look for it? You know it's there. So eventually they'll clear the rubble and you'll find it. So Kol Emas to be Inala, I can find it whenever I want. Shakilna, I can take it. Shakilnala, Aval Ganvu, list him. However, if it's stolen, Midloka Mahadra Basra Batule Batla. If it's stolen from the fact that you're not running after them to try to find it, it's apparent that you're mavatal it. Tzricha v'itana ganvu alistim mishum desavar iyavay kachavim shakal la miflach palach la. And maybe by listim, even if you don't run after it, you're still not mavatal it because you assume that if the bandits who stole the idol are goyim, then they're going to worship the Avodah Zarah anyway. Yisrael shakla aidi didamei yakarim mazvin la lavi kachavim upalach la. And even if it's a Jewish bandit who stole it, then since the idol is worth something, the Jew is going to sell it to a goy who then again is going to worship the Avodah Zarah. So there's no emergency to go find the Avodah Zarah because even though you can't worship it, so long as you're confident that somebody will worship it, maybe the goy is not going to be mevatel it. However, if the Bailam just leave the Avodah Zarah there and they travel abroad, from the fact that they don't take it with them, bitule batlua, it's obvious, it's evident that they're being mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Tzricha, therefore, you have to tell me in all of these cases, if you're leaving it, even if you're leaving it there, if you intend to return, it's not batel. If you intend to return to the Avodah Zarah, then you're not mevatel the Avodah Zarah through any of these actions. But ask the Gemara a fundamental question. Midi Melchemes Yoshua mihadar hadar. So did the Amori people who were in Eretz Yisrael, when they fought the war of Yoshua, and Yoshua conquered the land, did they actually return? No, they didn't return. Yet, the Avodah Zarah that was in Eretz Yisrael at the time that Yoshua took the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael remained usur forever. So says the Gemara, I don't even understand the terminology that you're using. If they intend to return, like in the Melchemes Yoshua, those people never returned. So says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Im Asidim Lachzar, if they intend to return, Hareyu Kumechemes Yoshua Ve'in Labatela, then it's like the Avodah Zarah that was in Eretz Yisrael at the time the Jews took over control of Eretz Yisrael, and that Avodah Zarah is going to be usur forever, just like the Avodah Zarah of the Amori people in Eretz Yisrael was usur forever, so too the Avodah Zarah of this individual, if he intends to return, then there was no bittul, and therefore it's going to remain usur. Says the Gemara, V'lamali l'bitliya b'mechemes Yoshua. Okay, so I get it, but why do you even frame this concept in reference to Melchemes Yoshua? What are we taught by learning this reference to Melchemes Yoshua here? So it says the Gemara, Milsag Avorcha Kamash Malan. We're learning a halacha derech agav. Ki yadi amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Like Rav Yehuda Marav says, Yisrael shezakaf levena leshtachavos la. If a Jew erects a brick, if a Jew props up a brick to bow down to it, to bove kachavim veshtachavela, and if a goy then comes down to, if a goy comes and bows down to that brick that the Jew set up, Asra, he asers that brick because that brick is now in Avodah Zarah. Tosfos over here says, the second Tosfos from the bottom, Uva ove kachavim v'shtachve perish la'osa levena atzma, shezakaf ha'Yisrael. That if the Jew sets up a brick to worship it, but doesn't yet worship, and then a guy comes along and worships the brick that the Jew set up for worship, then that brick is going to be aser. What if the guy comes and now turns over another brick that the Jew owns and bows down to that brick, but not the first brick that the Jew set up? Eina neseres, says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, the guy does not have the ability to aser that other brick as an Avodah Zarah, the Dilmol Anichal Ali Yisrael Elab Osa Shezakaf, the Vidloka Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel, because maybe the Jew only wanted the particular brick that he erected to be worshipped, but not any other brick. However, the Rashbam holds that no, once the Jew erects a brick, it shows that he wants his items to be worshipped, and therefore if the guy comes and erects another brick, he has the ability to aser even that other brick on the Jew. Generally speaking, you don't have the ability to aser somebody else's items on them. However, here where there's a demonstration that the Jew wants it and he's okay with it, and then you can aser it. Says the Gemara, Minolan d'Asra, how do you know that it's Asr? Samar of Elazar, Kitchila Shel Eretz Yisrael, because it's like the status of the things that were in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning when the Jewish people conquered it. The Amar Rachmana, because the Torah says, Vashereyem Tisrafon Be'esh, that the Asherah trees that were in Eretz Yisrael, they have to be burnt. So Michti. So says the Gemara, Yerusha Yilahem Me'avoseyem, Eretz Yisrael was a Yerusha of the Jewish people from the time of Avram Avinu, the Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ena Shalo. And a person cannot aser something that is not his. And therefore, if the Eretz Yisrael was a Yerusha of the Jewish people from the time of Avram Avinu, and then the Amori people came after the time of Avram and worshipped the Asherah tree, how were the Amorim able to aser the Asherah trees that was already in the Jews' possession? So the Mitzvah Eisen says maybe this diak is only valid according to the Mandemar, who holds that karka in an exelis, because the Asherah tree is karka. If karka can't be stolen, how are the Amorim able to actually assert control over the Asherah tree? But then he says, no, even if you want to say karka in exelis, still it's not considered to be theirs for the purpose of asering it on the Jewish people. But the question is, how are the Amorim able to aser the Asherah trees on the Jewish people? V'mishach hanach b'demei kara, and if it's because of those trees that existed in Eretz Yisrael before Avram Avinu was given Eretz Yisrael as a Yerusha, so b'betula b'al masagi, then in that case, those Asherah trees are not Asherah trees of a Jew, they're Asherah trees of a Goy, because they were owned by the Goyim before Avram Avinu got it, and the Avodah Zarah of a Goy doesn't have to be burnt, it doesn't have to be destroyed, it could be annulled. So it should be enough with a bittul. So Ella mitapolchi Yisrael le'egel, from the fact that the Jewish people bow down to the eagle, from the fact that they worship the eagle, golua daitayu denichulu bavodas chachavim, that it was a gilui das that they approved of the concept of avodas chachavim, v'chi also avodas chachavim shlichosayu detu avdi, and therefore when the akum came and worshiped these items in Eretz Yisrael, it showed that they were doing the bidding of the Jews. They were doing the shlichus, as it were, of the Jews. Hachanami, also over here in the case of the brick, Yisrael Shazakaf Lavena, the Jewish person who erected the brick, Goli Daite Denichalev Avodas Kachavim, it's a Gili Das that he wanted it to be worshipped, Vechiyasa Avikachavim Upalachla, and therefore when the guy comes and worships that brick that the Jew set up, Shlichus Ayadidei Kavet, he's doing the Shlichus of the Jewish person, and therefore that brick is going to be Aser. It's not that the guy is trying to Aser something that doesn't belong to him, the guy is Asering something that it was demonstrably intended as an avodah zara. So says the Gemara, how do I know that from the fact that the Jews worship the egel, it shows that they were cool with all sorts of avodah zara? Maybe they were only cool with the egel, but they were not so cool with all other forms of avodah zara. So says the Gemara, Amar Kra, Ela Elahecha Yisrael. It says not Ela, it says Ela Elahecha Balashin Rabim regarding the egel. Milameh Sheivu Le'alos Harbe, that they desired many gods. In other words, at the time that they worshipped avodah zara in the form of the egel, not only did they show that they were okay with the eagle, they show that they were okay with the concept of avodah zarah generally. So Ema called about the eagle nitzra mikan ve'elech nishtari. So says the Gemara, in that case, maybe only the Asherah trees that were in existence at the time of the eagle should be usher. Because at that time, yes, the Jewish people were okay with avodah zarah. However, Asherah trees that were planted after the time of the eagle should not be usher, because there's no gilui das that the Jews wanted to worship. Says the Gemara, man muchach, who can prove which tree was there from the time of the eagle and which tree was there from a later time? We simply don't know. Therefore, all Asherah trees are usher. We'll leave off here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.